Good morning. KSL News Time is 5 o'clock. This is Utah's Morning News. I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda Dixon. KSL's top story this hour.
Hockey fever has hit the Beehive State with the news that Utah's getting an NHL team.
KSL News Radio's Adam Small begins our live team coverage about what happens next. Adam?
Amanda, we're hoping to learn a lot more later tonight during a news conference with team owner Ryan Smith. But for now, though, the state is abuzz with the news that the hockey team is coming here. Utah's new goalie, Connor Ingram, told reporters how he feels about coming to Salt Lake City.
I'm not going to lie to you. I really like Salt Lake City. We stop every year on the drive-in, and I had an Airbnb booked in Sundance for the drive home. So I'm excited for Salt Lake City. I will miss Arizona, but I think if you're going to move, it's a good place to go.
We'll have live coverage here for you on KSL News Radio tonight at 5 o'clock when that news conference gets underway. And new team owner Ryan Smith says our team could start next season without a new name. KSL News Radio's Peter Johnston is live and continues our team coverage. Peter?
Tim, Ryan Smith says he's in no rush to put a name on his new baby, but a few weeks ago he seemed kind of biased toward the
Utah Yeti with a killer logo. I thought that was pretty cool, actually.
That's dope.
Especially with the U and the Y. They'd finally come together.
Oh! Right?
Smith is now telling ESPN the team will be named for Utah and not Salt Lake City. National Hockey League writer Greg Wyshynski teased on X that the name and even the colors could drop as early as today. But if you ask reporter Pierre LeBrun, that could actually take longer and could start the season without a new name for the team. Reporting live, Peter Johnston, KSL News Radio.
The Delta Center will be the hockey team's home next season, and last night a website was created to take $100 deposits for people wanting tickets. In 2 hours, Ryan Smith posted on social media over 6,000 people put down money to get on that waiting list. By last night, that number was 11,000 deposits.
I wonder if this will have an effect on youth hockey programs. Adam, if you're still there, is there any speculation about how having an NHL team will affect we do have youth hockey programs in Utah, right?
Yeah, we do. Actually, acting manager at the Accord Ice Center in West Valley, Chris Bellator, tells KSL TV youth hockey leagues were already growing in numbers, and he expects those numbers to skyrocket.
I never thought I'd see this in my lifetime. So I'm excited to see an NHL team coming here.
Bellator grew up playing hockey and now runs the Learn to Play program. And of course, just reminding all our listeners to stay with us, especially this afternoon when that news conference gets underway. And this is the latest coverage on this story as it develops. We'll keep you updated from here all the way until that puck drops at the Delta Center this fall. Live, Adam Small, KSL News Radio.
By the way, the Delta Center is all lit up with an NHL logo this morning, and there's a big, you know, the reader board on the front's talking about getting deposits to get your tickets for the fall. All right, let's take a look at our top national stories this hour. Explosions and drones were spotted near an airbase in Iran overnight in what appears to be Israel's response to the Iran attack. ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge reports from Tel Aviv.
It appears at this stage that the Iranian regime is trying to play this down and the Israelis are not trying to own it. And therefore, I think both sides, at the moment at least, are trying to de-escalate, even though we've had this pretty incredible series of strikes potentially overnight.
The U.S. Was given advance notice of the strike.
In New York, protesters supporting people in Gaza rallied at Columbia University's campus last night after police earlier in the day broke up a tent encampment. Protest organizer Raed tells ABC News that demonstrators won't be intimidated.
We want divestment now from all multinational corporations that work in Israel. We want divestment through all the investments that Columbia University makes.
Columbia University's president asked the NYPD to break up the student encampment on campus.
First look traffic. Good morning, Andy Farnsworth.
Good morning, Tim. Had flashing lights and flares out on 215 South Belt heading from I-15 out towards Redwood Road. I still see the flashing lights. I still see the flare. But it's early enough on a Friday morning that at this point there's not a big delay behind it. We'll keep an eye on that, though, if that changes. I'm Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
The Utah Board of Education is working out the details on a new law that deals with books with objectionable materials.
The new law allows books to be removed from schools statewide if that removal is approved by at least 3 school districts or 2 districts and 5 charter schools.
As of right now, the districts are in charge of what they want to
have in their schools, what they don't want to have in sports. There is some overarching guidance on that. However, the LEA is the deciding entity when it comes to whether or not it meets that threshold.
Utah Board of Education spokesperson Sharon Turner says, as of right now, no books have been removed statewide, and there are still a lot of things the board has to figure out before the law goes into effect on July 1st. Don Brinkerhoff, KSL News Radio.
Boeing says it's going to compensate United Airlines because of all of the problems with the 737 MAX plane.
United Airlines says when the Boeing 737 MAX 9 was grounded after that Alaska Airlines door plug flew off, it cost United about $200 million because it couldn't fly those planes. And now it's freezing pilot hiring and modifying plans because of slowed production of the MAX and the delayed certification of the Boeing 737 MAX 10. A new regulatory filing says Boeing will compensate United for the financial damages in the form of credits on the purchase of future Boeing airplanes. Alex Stone, ABC News.
The co-founder of the Allman Brothers has died at age 80.
Dickie Betts played lead guitar for the Allman Brothers Band and also wrote and sang lead on some of their biggest hits, including their only top 10, Ramblin' Man. He co-founded the band in 1969 with brothers Dwayne and Greg Allman, and the group, known for their Southern fried jams, would eventually get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1995. But drugs and alcohol caused rifts in the group. There were a couple of splits, and Betts was officially booted in 2000. We're told he died at his home in Florida, surrounded by family. Dickie Betts was 80 years old. Jason Anenson, ABC News.
Man, that song takes me back.
Everybody sings along when that comes
on. Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you, when you hear some of the stories of the Allman Brothers and all of these bands back in the day on the road, you're amazed anybody lived to be 80 years old.
I truly am.